I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. How you doing, Dave? Ready for a big week?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Last week of this year. It's been a fantastic year for us, yes?
Yeah, this year actually went by pretty fast.
And I want to give a quick shout out to my wonderful, beautiful wife, Linda. Happy birthday. 35 years old. Here we go. She's looking fantastic.
See, we record this the day before, so this is his morning reminder.
What, you think so? Right? So this week our topic is mastering fear. And on the weekend edition of Stress Mastery Podcast, our host, Mark Middlestead, did an episode on the only thing we have to fear. Yesterday, on Monday with the Super Millennial, David did a show on overcoming fear by facing obstacles. Today's Health Huddles, we're going to talk about getting out of that declaration of saying, I know. And on Meeting of the Minds, we will discuss the transition to transformation and the fear energy of the comfort zone. On Connection Thursday this week, we're going to have a discussion on moving out of the illusion and mastering fear. And on Friday, we will continue our book study, The Book of Joy by the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu, sorry to say, and the Dalai Lama. So, my friend, you ready to rock this out? Your goals all set?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to rock and roll.
So you've already moved in. I saw you working on all your stuff for your new goals and everything else. And those in the community, if you haven't done the goal exercises, they're all there. The whole course is there. All the awareness book teaching you all about goals. And the three lessons that takes you from the wants to the desires to the intention. This week, I picked the topic mastering fear because I really want to get into what it takes to get yourself moving through that first month, 2 months, and 3 months of that new year in the quarter. And so today I want to talk about on ending the declaration and this projection of these words, I know. And I'm going to talk a little bit about motivation, how motivation is not going to move you forward. It's impossible. And why? And really, what does it take for you to attain? I know it's Health Huddles, but we're talking just about everything. What's it take for you to create the life you're looking to create? And we're going to talk about all that today. So you have anything you want to hit before we start? You ready to fly?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So the quote, the great David Goggins, motivation is crap. Great quote. And I agree, motivation is pretty much crap. No one creates change through motivation. And I want you to understand it because motivation at its core is simply want. It's motivation that creates declarations. It gets you excited. You may even set the goal, but ultimately, motivation will leave you flat long before you attain the goal. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with using motivation as a tool, but it will not be there for you when you wake up tired or get stressed or there is some type of conflict. Motivation will not be there when things get hard and your tribe is telling you, just relax, life's too short, you deserve a break, blah, blah, blah. Motivation will not get you to do what you need to do to attain your goals. Do you have anything you want to say about that going in?
Yeah, we used to say that way back. If you listen to the early podcast, it was like motivation is the reason why you won't follow through. And the more we've talked about it and kind of I found that motivation is good for sparking interest, and that's about it. It gets
I use it as a tool.
Excited about something, and then you have to step into it.
Right. I use it every day. I use motivation every single day, whether I'm listening to an author or listening to a spiritual teacher or even YouTube videos before I go to the gym. I use it as a tool. Mm-hmm. But it's not motivation getting me out of bed. It's not motivation that's getting me into the gym. It's not motivation that's keeping my diet clean. It's not motivation that is making me do my work. You know, it's not. Yeah. So it was interesting because at Christmas this year, I was doing my refeed. I took my refeed day at Christmas and I was very focused. I was very present. And I was very fortunate because Linda and my daughter-in-law, Angie, they made me my Thanksgiving meal. Because remember, I didn't get Thanksgiving this year. And it was awesome because I had all the foods I loved, right? It was exactly my Thanksgiving dinner.
And you should have seen his smile.
I was happy. I'm not going to lie. So I ate everything I wanted to eat, right? I even had a few cookies and some sweets and everything else. And I was very aware. I could feel my body getting a little bit upset because it was very clean and it was time. And so all I did was simply slow down. And I stopped for just a pause. And that pause, I realized I'm not hungry anymore. And I wasn't craving anymore. And I had eaten exactly what I wanted. So I was done. And I was very, very content. But this contentment actually disturbed my tribe. My son-in-law, which I love him to death, he wanted me to eat this one dessert that was brought over that was actually exploding in sugar and calories. It was a dessert bomb. That one dessert, one piece of that dessert had to be 10,000 calories. I don't know, but it was wicked, correct?
I blame that dessert for me being 300 pounds in high school.
There you go. So that dessert was brought, right? So he was trying to get me to eat it, and I just wouldn't eat it. I go, no, I'm good. I'm good. And I was very aware. And I'm telling you, I didn't even want it. There wasn't any motivation or any discipline. I was done. And so it really upset him that I wouldn't. It was really upsetting him. He was getting upset. You got to. And then he finally gave up. But then he ate one, right? And I just sat back and watched. And then he ate another. And within minutes, I was watching him. And he was sitting on the couch about ready to pass out. Now, we're at his house. There's about 25 people there celebrating Christmas. And I could see him struggling from this dessert. He had eaten two or three. I think he ate through the one too. And I just thought to myself, I go, man, that doesn't look like fun. That was me. That just doesn't look like fun. And I was completely satisfied. And you see, this is having awareness. I want you to understand, you could go into your program and you get a refeed day, you get a day off, and you got to be aware. You know, a lot in the old days, I wasn't that way. I would just eat until I almost passed out. But awareness is the key factor when it comes to behavior. And that's what I'm trying to get to. Motivation is not going to create awareness. Do you agree with me, Dave?
Yeah, I think that's for sure, because I don't think with motivation, you are aware of the ups and downs. It only looks bright when you have that motivation.
Very good. Great. That's very good. Because if you look at awareness is the key factor when it comes to behavior, people. Awareness is what creates volition of will. Volition is not willpower. Volition is when you choose your behavior. And unfortunately, motivation cannot build volition. So today, I want to discuss a little bit about motivation. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because this week, you will get bombarded into the new year with motivation. And then I also would like to discuss today the fact that we can only experience what we hold in mind. And there is a 2-minute alarm that we build our lives out of that I will talk about. And when you make the statement, I know, and you don't act, you are setting yourself back because you actually don't know, which I will clarify in this episode today. Because true transition into transformation, that transition to transformation is all about moving through the fear energy through the courage energy. And I want to talk about that today. And this week, in tomorrow's episode, I'll actually talk about the fear energy of the comfort zone and that transition and transformation. But for today, I just want to get it clear of what it takes to really do it. I'm going to tell you truth. This is what it's going to take. And there's nobody who can tell me I'm wrong. You know why? Because I know how to create transformation. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, you've been through it. Your experience is your story.
That's the only way you know. So when it comes to transitioning, let's say our current state of health, and we want to create a new higher state of better health, the key, as with all change, will be your behavior. I don't care if you want to transition your finances, it will be your behavior. If you want to transition your relationships, it will be your behavior. And many of us, many people, millions of people will get motivated as the new year is coming into light. As that new year starts, people are going to be motivated for a new healthy diet. Many people will join gyms. They may buy exercise equipment. Many, many are going to be excited and motivated this new year to start exercising. And this motivation will fill up the gyms everywhere. And this motivation will pour millions of dollars into the diet industry and millions more into supplements. And even the workout clothing industry will get a new year boom. And the new year will bring all the health experts out of the woodwork to tell you that they have the answers to your health goals. And you will see very quickly that the motivation gurus will appear and they will tell you how you can easily create new habits in just 21 days. While personal development self-help industry will instruct you how to set goals and why you should coach with their coaches. And how this year is your year. David, it's freaking exhausting. That's my take. It's exhausting when you look at it and watch it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, a part of me, it always feels like it's ego, but then it's always experience that comes along with it. When I see the gyms fill up and I look around and say, I can't wait until it's empty. Part of me wish it stays busy. The other part knows that nobody's going to make it past that 3-week, 1-month period that nobody goes to. So the experience of it, you know, it's like, I hope you do well. I know many of you won't.
And you know what that is? That's the trap of motivation. See, mm-hmm. The trap of motivation is the feeling you get, right? It's exciting. You feel, I'm excited to start this exercise program, to join this gym. And this excitement will begin driving you toward doing something. That's where motivation can be good, because it's driving you to do something outside your comfort zone. And so the motivation, you're going to start your new diet plan or start your new exercise plan or start your new self-help plan. The challenge with motivation is that people, when motivated, create unrealistic expectations. They believe they will magically change. I'm going to lose all my weight in 30 days or less. I'm going to get all these muscles. I'm going to have these incredible relationships. I'm going to make this $1 million. I'm going to make all this money. And they believe that they set the goal and it will all just happen for them. I've already got motivated. I've set the goal. I've taken action. And motivation drives them to literally spend their money, to sign up and make time commitments. Motivation gives them hope that this time will be different from all the other times they tried to change. But like you said, David, before you know it, you're breaking the diet because this or that happened in your life. You're skipping workouts because something is now taking up your time, you lost your time, or you stop your self-help work because you got busy this week at work. But it's not your fault. It's because of whatever. And the motivation is gone. And the snap back into your old behavior is here. But it's not your fault. It's something outside you's fault, not yours, right? Because you think that something outside you stopped you from attaining your goal, but really what happened was the motivation was gone. You didn't have that electricity within you. You didn't have that spark to drive you, right? And when that was gone, boom, it's over. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the like I said earlier, the part with motivation, I think it falls short is because it's set with an expectation that things are going to happen very easy or quick, you know, and that's still what sabotages a lot of people. It screwed me over for a long time. I've lost 50, 60, 70 pounds and was like, I don't look like how I thought I would in the beginning. And I discredit 70 pounds of weight loss. And it's what happens to a lot of people. They get through those first 3 weeks and say, you know, I don't see a difference. I'm done. And they leave and the motivation is gone.
And it's ironic because people actually believe that those who do eat healthy and who do exercise consistently are somehow magically motivated. So yeah, people think, cheating. Oh, right? They got to have something. They're so motivated. You're so lucky. You have so much motivation. You're this. Yet the truth is those people that have developed these skills and habits of diet and exercise or even financial, you know, prosperity and discipline or relationships, good relationships, they think they're magically motivated. And the truth is they're not being driven by motivation. They are being driven by intention. Mm-hmm. They have a design plan that is keeping them awareness of their behavior. And they are in conviction that their desire and their why is moving them to a new life. And the desire of the why, that what they are doing what needs to be done, even if they are tired, even if they don't feel like showing up, they must show up. Even if they're busy, they find the time. Even if everyone around them is telling them to eat the 10,000 calorie dessert that they politely must decline. So I laugh a little bit because, you know, it's like watching a movie. You guys are funny. And these people are actually locked in. The people that do these things, that have this behavior, they know because they're locked into the identity of intention. Their why is more important than the instant gratification of not doing it. They see, feel, and already in the goal achieved. And that's what we teach you in a higher goal setting process. That is what's called an identity-based goal. And when you set goals properly, it drives your behavior. Where motivation falls short, proper goal setting is what really gets you to move forward and through the times where you must take action without motivation. You know, you really don't want to do something, yet you still do it. Mm-hmm. That's what proper goal setting does. Do you have any comments on the processes? You're going through it right now. The processes of identity-based goals. You've really gotten good at it. This is the best I've ever seen you do it in all these years. And so why don't you tell them how it's working for you?
Well, to touch on what you just said, I think the biggest part for it is what I used to do in the past is I used to prepare myself for whatever it was I wanted to do, whether it's weight loss, whatever, fill the fridge, buy all the new gym equipment, things like that. I didn't prepare myself for the days I didn't want to go. I didn't prepare myself for the soreness or the family events and people's birthdays and things like that. I didn't prepare myself to how I deal with that. Now, I just came back from that Tennessee trip and we had, you know, conversations beforehand. I talked to the people who are going to be there. I told them I don't drink. I told them I'm eating specific. I did those things. I prepared for those days that I normally wouldn't. Those would be, I feel guilty. I'm just going to eat. I don't want to ruin someone's vacation. I'm just going to drink. And next thing you know, 3 weeks past Tennessee trip, and I'm still doing the same things.
You did fantastic. I'm very proud of you.
Motivation part prepares you to start the kind of setting those goals and that identity-based goals prepares you for everything that comes along.
See, when you get caught in motivation, right, and you get excited and you start something and you make the declaration, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you get stuck into what's called the prison of I know. Now, let me explain. So I have a client who sends me his metrics to me. And before I even got to give the feedback on the metrics he sent me, he states, I know not enough sleep. The truth is he does not know. This is what I want to get across today. Because if he did know, he would make sure he would get enough sleep. So what happens then is I tell him, no, you don't know. And the client then defends his lack of sleep. Well, I had to get up and do this morning because of this, and this is why my sleep was inadequate. Again, if he knows something, this means he has experience, and sleep will be a skill. He knows. It's a habit. He doesn't know. He thinks he knows, and thinking and knowing are two different minds, two different aspects. Thinking comes from knowledge, which is held in the cage mind. Now, 95% of your behavior comes from the cage mind, the subconscious mind, but it does not stem from knowledge. Your behavior and habits actually stem from the programs you hold in mind. My client doesn't know about sleep. He has knowledge about sleep. He has knowledge of why he needs sleep. He has knowledge of what sleep does, but he doesn't know because his behavior is consistently stuck in the lack of sleep. So he doesn't know. For him to know, he would experience what sleep does. And this would develop the skill, which is in stress mastery, a habit of sleep. Now, if my client knows, then he would take the steps to ensure he would get the sleep needed. And if he had to do something in the morning, he had a morning commitment, he would go to bed earlier. That's knowing. You see me adjust all the time. I know. For hell, I know. And the I know, Bill, I know. I hear it all the time. I know, Bill, I should not eat this. And again, you don't know. You think you know. I know, Bill. I shouldn't react to him or her the way I did. You don't know. You think you know. See, the I know prison holds more people back than anything else when it comes to personal development and self-improvement, especially health. Understand, you experience only what you hold in mind. I want you to think about this. If you hold in mind worry, you can only experience worry. If you hold in mind frustration, anger, you can only experience frustration and anger. If you hold in mind grief or guilt, you can only experience sadness and regret, grief and guilt. If you hold in mind I know, you can only experience apathy. The 50 apathy energy. If you are stating, I know, yet you do not do what you know, your state of being, your energy is apathy. You experience the apathy state. If you know you should not eat fast food because you're trying to lose weight and you want to get healthy, then why would you eat it? And when I state, I know, yet your behavior is the opposite. One, you don't know, you think. And two, you automatically fall into that apathy state. The apathy state is, I can't is your activation. So one is I can't. Two is anger. This is you defending and attacking your reason for not doing the behavior. And three is a justification where your why is in pride. And then four, you fall into guilt and regret, and this is your self-inflicted punishment because the ego tells you you know better. Why did you eat that fast food? And then I hear it all again. Bill, I know I shouldn't eat that. You don't know. You need to slow down and answer this question. When you say, I know, stop. Slow down and answer. Who told you to eat that fast food in the first place? You see, in the apathy state, you will create a victim story because you will justify why it's not your fault. All motivation is lost. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm talking about now on that?
Yeah, for sure. Completely.
So we build our entire life. Your entire life is built from the time you're 7 years old on with a 2-minute pendulum. Allow me to explain. No one can get around or halt the process of being a human being. We all grew through the stages of development, and we all get programming that drives our behavior. Now, this programming is set for us, not by us. Every goal you set will be, must be, confronted by the fear energy. It is the ego's job to make sure you fail to change. It's the ego's job to make sure you fail to accomplish what you want. The goal set, for this goal to be birthed, to become your reality, you must have the courage to control those 2 minutes in which the fear energy will be activated and the pendulum will swing. And when you hesitate to do what needs to be done and move into that land of, well, I would have, or could have, or should have, or I know I should have, you are going to fail. But that pendulum swung there. If you can pause and allow that pendulum to swing from fear, because it's always going to activate in fear. The moment you step outside your comfort zone, it has to activate. So that pendulum, 2-minute pendulum, it's swinging in fear. It's telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. You're tired. This is too hard. They're going to laugh at you. You can't do this. If you can pause and allow that to swing into courage, that's where you will give birth to your dreams. So the alarm sounds the moment you feel any type of fear. The alarm sounds the moment you feel resistance. The alarm sounds and the timer is set 2 minutes. The pendulum automatically swings into fear. The ego is telling you why it's okay to skip today. The ego is telling you it's okay to put this off until tomorrow. The ego is telling you that you really are tired today. You've done a lot. The ego's telling you to get with your friends, go hang out, you know, watch a little TV. Hey, better check on what's going on in the world. Let's flip on the news or what's going on in that social media feed. The ego is telling you to hit the snooze button on your dreams. But it's a decision. If you take a pause, slow down, the pendulum must swing from fear to courage. The 2 minutes is ticking away and your life needs an answer. Do you have the courage to act outwardly on what you want inwardly from your heart? Tick, tick, tick. Do you have the courage to do what others around you will not do? Tick, tick, tick. Do you have the courage to get up and write your script and let go of the trauma and the mistakes and the failures that defined your yesterday and move into that blank page of today and dictate your story, your life? Tick, tick, tick. The pendulum has momentum. Are you ready to allow it to swing to courage? It takes courage to change. It takes courage to become fit. It takes courage to build wealth. It takes courage to grow. It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to be a success. It takes courage to gather knowing. This is when, and it is through courage, when you can say, I know. Tick, tick, tick. The decision is yours. You either act from fear, which will guarantee that you will fit in and let the energy of fear write your script, or are you going to self-author your life and give birth to your dreams, your calling, your passion, your knowing? Tick, tick, tick. It's all yours, Dave. Decision's yours.
Yeah, I think that last part of knowing, just the way people say it, because I was one of those, man. I read books, I did YouTube, I got all these certifications, things like that. I swore on every Bible you could put in front of me, I knew it all. Until I realized I didn't know nothing. And I could hear the comments already, Bill, we're never going to mess up, we're never going to fail. No, for sure. I think the example that you gave about the person not getting enough sleep, right? If they were to say, hey, I now know, now they know, now they have the experience. That was a mistake and a learning experience. Because there's a lot of times that I screwed up and I was like, I know I can't do that anymore. And now that's become my knowing. I know I need to get to sleep earlier. I know if I have something tomorrow, I have to adjust. I know all these different things because I'm going off of experience, not because I think I know what you're going to say or I'm saying what I think you want to hear. There's a very big difference, and you've explained it, between knowing and saying you know, because I was the one who said, I know, I know, I know, and at the same goal I was going at for the last 10 years, failed at.
And it happens to most people, and it really is a little pendulum, because when you set your goal, the motivation can get you into the gym, mm-hmm. and that's good. Motivation is a great tool, but you have to understand you can only experience what you hold in mind. What happens when your motivation isn't in mind? Then you have to get out of your mind and connect to your heart. That's that 2-minute timer. It's going to go off every time. Mm-hmm. And when it's in fear, you're in a restriction energy. When you're in a restriction energy, you're either going to behave, you know, aggressively or depressively, but you are not going to move toward change. So, if you can pause, because you cannot stop fear, because you're moving outside, and I'll talk about that tomorrow, you can't stop the process because you're moving outside your comfort zone. It's the way the human being is wired. It's the hierarchy of the way our brain works. But if you can pause, and that knowledge that, okay, take a breath. I can do this. I'm going to do it. I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to do that. That will create knowing. Because what is knowing? When you develop the skill, the habit, and it's only through consistent behavior. And that clock is ticking. You live your life within 2 minutes. Because in 2 minutes, you're either going to procrastinate and eat whatever you want to eat with everybody else so you can be part of the gang at work. Or in that 2 minutes, you're going to separate yourself and go eat your salad by your desk because you want to maintain what you're attempting to change. And if you keep going and eating your salad by your desk by yourself, eventually that will become a knowing. And you could go and have a party and you could sit down while they eat and you can eat your salad because you know, hey, it's not my cheat day. I'm good.
You can be the one throwing the party.
Yes,
all the stuff you love,
and it doesn't even affect you. Nothing outside you can make you feel anything. It's always from within. And that tick, tick, tick is a decision that you, if you have to slow down to be able to even split the eyes, to see the ego, to move into the behavior, motivation will not stay around long enough for you to create the knowing that you're looking to create.
Agreed.
Anything else, Dave?
I think that's it for today.
That is it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift on the planet. And you can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Those links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.